simply because we think we're just supposed to be good Christians and just be good people, or we just come to church on Sunday to make sure that we get God's favor upon our own finances or whatever else. And as long as we're going to get God's favor upon our finances, we come to church on Sundays basically to pay homage or to pay duty of some sort to make sure we stay in His good graces. And when in fact, this thing is, we talk about putting on faces so much through church, but the world is looking for the real Christ. They really are. They just haven't seen Him yet. They haven't seen Him out there in the day-to-day business, in the day-to-day activities of everything we do, how we conduct our character, our lives. And I'm not talking about perfect people. I'm just talking about people that are walking in a relationship with Christ, learning to listen to Him, walk with Him in everything that they're involved in, from their families to their businesses to whatever it is in an arena that you're involved in. And so when you have that kind of influence on them, you will have an influence upon the culture that we live in. They have not seen the very fact of a real, true, walking, talking, living relationship, somebody actually walking in the kingdom of God under the authority of Christ in every aspect of your life, walking it out on a daily basis and it being real, not a face, not a front, that it's real, it's ingrained into you. And when it's influencing your life so that it's impacting you, it begins to influence and impact the world. It becomes an active display to the world of what the kingdom of God really is about. And I say this, and I've heard it said several times, and that is the world really has not rejected Christ. They really have not. They have not seen Him. They have not seen Him and seen His ways and seen His life and seen the influence upon people and upon a family. Because in real truth, it works. If they really see it, they really see the true demonstration of it affecting a family, affecting somebody's finances, affecting their health. And they see that and they want it. They go out there every day basically trying to get this blessing on their life some way or another. But they have not seen the principles of the kingdom of God walking itself out, that it's become real. And in all these arenas, when we do that, we impact the culture. And that's what the kingdom of God's all about. It's about influencing and impacting that culture.
A question that I often hear among Christians is, and see what you guys think. Maybe it's not said this way, but comes across this way, is the world is evil, and we need to distance ourselves from it. Have y'all heard that question, and how do y'all answer that?
That has happened through the years, and basically the church has basically taken the stance that the world is going to Hades in a hell basket, so just may as well let it go. And just, you know, we walk away from it, turn our back, and we just hang out. And I call it the bus stop mentality, just hanging on and waiting at the bus stop, waiting for the bus to come anytime, and get as many people as we can to gather at the bus stop because the bus is going to be here anytime to take us on out of here. And in fact, the two key scriptures that come with that, and that is Luke 19, and when it talks about the Jesus handed out the talents and He handed out the gifts. And here's the one thing He said then at the end when He's talking about the man who gave the gifts or the talents. And He said this. He said, occupy. Everyone say that word.
Occupy.
Say that again.
Occupy.
Occupy. That word means do business. Be busy. And He says, occupy till I come. That means do business. And He gives them talents. He gives them monetary things. Something to go do business with. And He says, take this and do business. Occupy till I come. And with that, then Matthew 24, Jesus goes through, because they ask Him. They ask Him all these questions. They say, all right, what's the signs of the end times? Because everybody always wants to know about the end time stuff. And Jesus goes through all of these different things, these signs of the times. And we focus more on that, but we forget about the one last thing Jesus says. And He said this in Matthew 24. He says that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the nations as a witness or as a demonstration. Then the end shall come. And we focus so much on all the end time stuff. The church is so wrapped up in looking for signs. We've looked for signs for 150 years. We watch the newspapers instead of the fact if you've got Christ in your heart, and it's important to have that and know that you're secure in that. But the thing is, once you've got that checked off and you're walking this relationship, then our next thing is walking this gospel and living this gospel and letting it be a demonstration to the world. And he says, and then the end shall come. It's got to be this demonstration. It's got to be actively involved in these kingdoms of the world, because that's what these mountains are. They are kingdoms.
God's mandate to us hasn't changed. He said, take dominion. And that didn't change from the Garden of Eden to now. He said, be in the world, but not of the world. And that's the struggle, to stay in his presence, living from the heart that he gave you, not trying to impress the people around you, not trying to perform according to the world's standards, but living according to the truth, being considerate, but standing for truth, period, over and out. And when you do that, that dispels the darkness.
One thing we want to focus on in the time we got left is, this is a big subject, so we can't do it all, but talk about the mountain of government. We started it last week or the week before that in Calhoun on some how should a Christian should vote, some basic non-negotiable things. If you weren't here, you can listen to the message. I think there's still some notes out there in the front. But we're going to talk about the mountain of government. The mountain of government influences us whether we think it does or not. And some of it's good and some of it's not. And the reason we picked the mountain of government is because it could have been any of the seven. It's because in 5 weeks we've got what some people say is the most critical election in the history of our country. I personally don't believe that. I think it's probably in the third or the fourth most important. I think the voting in Abraham Lincoln around the Civil War was higher. I think the votes of FDR that got us into World War II and eventually freed us from communism was higher. But this is the most important election in my 52 years. Some people don't know why, and we don't have time to go into those issues. We can talk later, but it's definitely the most important election, I think, in my lifetime. If you don't agree, it's still a very important one. And that's just 5 weeks away. And so we want to talk about that. But to talk about that, I got a question for these guys. There has been a battleground in our country over this concept of the separation of church and state. And so I'll just throw that out. You know, what's the biblical, what's the history of that? Where's that coming from? How should we understand that as Christians?
Well, the separation of church and state is continually rehearsed through our educational system. And I want to say this because there is a battle that's always fought as if it's a constitutional issue. And I will say this, the separation of church and state, and here is its truth, it is not in the Constitution. It is not in there, listed in there. It's been ingrained into the thoughts of people over and over again out of writings. But the separation of church and state started off because Thomas Jefferson was the first one to make the statement. And he made the statement based around this very fact that, and it was more so that the state would not have any governmental control over the church. That's where the separation was to take place. Not that the church was not to have an influence in every aspect of society and you're supposed to keep them separate. But we have fallen so in line with that, that when I talk about the church not being an influence into the world, we have become so ingrained in that thought and allowed that thought to program us that we actually live this way. We separate the church from the state. We separate that in our own lives. We separate that on our daily basis. We go to church on Sunday, then we go to the state. We go to work. We go to our workplaces. And we become two different sets of people. We're not the same group. We have church, and they want us to say, all right, you can have your church, you can have your worship center, whatever that may be, but don't bring that back out here. And so because of that, in separating it in our lifestyles, we've separated it from our education systems, we've separated it from our media, we've separated it from our families, we've separated it from our business, the government, etc. In that, even I know Christians, even my own father, being raised up. My father was at that place where he just said, basically, and I don't remember or ever recall ever my father even voting. He was under that ideal and thought that, well, he'll stay and he'll pray, and that's good, and praying is important. That's a big thing to do. But at the same time, too, he didn't feel like the church ought to have anything to do with politics, that basically we sat back and we prayed. But if you remember, with starting out, it was God leading his people, and he was wanting to be the king over that people and lead them in their daily lives. And then he gave them a king after their heart, and that was Saul, and then turned around and appointed David. But his whole heart and his whole thought all the time was involved in leading mankind through righteousness. And every time that you see in the Old Testament, every time you see revivals take place or renewals take place, it didn't happen first at the church. It didn't happen first with the priesthood. They may have been over in a place praying, but every time it happened with the renewal of a king's heart. And every time when it began with government and that king's heart, then that king would go back, and he would even, with righteousness in his heart, go back to the temple and the church and get the priesthood back in line. So over and over again, it was always starting with a move of righteousness being brought forth in a government setting. I've got a, Kyle, have you got that site pulled up for me, bud? I've got a very interesting, it's an 8-minute video, and I want to thank Charlene because she's the one that passed it on to me here a few months back. But basically, this is a tour given of the Capitol building of Washington. I want you to see, because I was so impressed with so much that is not taught, that we have has escaped us, that we've lost in our education, we've lost it in every aspect of our life. And I want you to hear, and to me, all of you youth in here today, all the children, all you young couples and families, sometimes it's so easy to wash politics out of our mind, but I want you to hear out of this, this is our history. This is our real history of where we come from. And at the same time, too, I want you to see how far away we've gotten from this. But this is really good. I was really impressed by it. Go ahead. Isn't that, that's good, isn't it? How many of you watching that gained some new insight, new information about your own country that you didn't know, that you feel like you were misled to think something different about our country? These are our founding fathers who had the gospel so ingrained in their thinking. They had it so ingrained in the operation of their daily work, they did not think about taking it out and separating it somewhere else. It was just so ingrained. They wrote documents there, and that's the key thing. This is not just hearsay. You know, you got congressional documents he's holding up there and proof of things that actually took place to show that these were men that had a heart in them for the kingdom of God. And so, to me, I feel like I had been lied to and distracted, and I think the church as a whole has been distracted away from the very impact of how this very thing that we've got a hold of inside of our life should be an influence and should be an impact around us, and will be an impact if it's influencing our life and it's real in us.
There's this phrase that they talked about a lot, about secular and sacred. And that is a true concept, but I want to look at it from a different angle, because we often use, the world often uses it to intimidate us. Well, that's secular. You can't bring that over. There is the secular and there is the sacred. And it boils down to this. There's God's view and his spirit and the devil's view and his spirit. You're sacred here. And we want to be sacred tomorrow. What does that mean? We walk by His Spirit tomorrow. We have got to not be intimidated by the thought Well, I can't bring my values and philosophy over into the world. It is a lie. That is exactly what the devil wants you to believe. And so I encourage all of you to vote in 5 weeks, but only vote this way. If you switch out into a secular mode and you vote how heathens and unbelievers have taught you to vote, I don't want you to vote because I don't want your influence over on me. Amen. We've got to grow up and not just learn how to walk with God, but learn how to walk in God in business, politics, sports and entertainment, all of the mountains. What does that mean? I mean, you can be a Christian, but if you cheat and steal in business, I don't want to do business with you. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, this is how business is done. That's, well, you're acting sacred over here. That means you're allowing that one part of your life to influence you by God, but over here you dump it.
Yeah.
And that's the hypocrite or the two-faced value. So there is a certain amount of learning we have to do to learn what does a Christian businessman do? What kind of government would do we need? There's a learning curve there. We tried to start it last week. And so get rid of that thought and say, I am going to be one person, a disciple of Jesus Christ, in all of my life. And that takes some learning. That takes some growing. That takes some understanding. It's not an instant thing. It's the renewing of your mind, as Romans says. And so that's why we're talking about it. So the next 5 weeks, study the senators, the House of Representatives, the presidential. Do the research and figure out which one is the most biblically leaning. And you'll have to answer that question. We're not going to answer that question today. We'll be glad to talk of it. Off. Not the most likable. Hitler won because of his charisma. Mm-hmm. And he enslaved all of Europe because he was likable. Mm-hmm. We cannot judge electors, CEOs, based on how we judge celebrities. Yes. Now, I'm being harsh, but the way the world is because we've judged out there secular wise, and in the house we judge sacred. It is time to blend it, and sacred takes over the secular, because behind the scenes it is a domination of who's going to be dominant worldviews.
Yep.
We cannot be so naive. It is a battle of who is going to dominate. I love Jesus Christ. He frees us from our compassion, through compassion, frees us from our addictions, frees us from our healings, and takes us to heaven. But in the end, he's going to dominate.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? We don't do it the way the world does. We don't do it through violence. We don't do it through hatred. We don't do it through intolerance and judgment. But he is going to take the world over.
There's a lot of times when we start talking about the kingdom of God, there's a thought that gets out there sometimes about this takeover mentality. But in real truth, it's not a means of rising up and taking over. The early church grew and prospered and moved in the Holy Spirit because they were so sold out to this thing. They were ready to die to walk God's way and listen to Christ, even if it meant death. And the church grew because of that, because these were real demonstrations of something that they were giving their life for. It's not a means that they were just complying with society and walk along with society, but they just said, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to walk His way. I'm going to believe His word. I'm going to do it that way. And as they did so, they had to pay a price for it. They had to die for that. But in the midst of that, the church grew. It was a strong church because of that. That's the demonstration of the kingdom of God. It's not just rising up and saying, I'm going to rise up and take over. It's rising up and saying, I'm going to listen to the king. I'm going to walk with the king. And I'm going to be in service to my king.
One thing we want to do with the government is to, what are some practical things we can do with this election that's coming up in 5 weeks? And Mom's going to take the lead on that and talk about some things.
Carrie, would you hand out some handouts that I have? And in those handouts, I have some prayer points that Rick Joyner, with whom we cooperate in this church, has made. And another one are some scriptures, because being a teacher, I want some specifics. And God has said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, get that, we humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. That's our part. And he's calling us to do that. The second page that I have given you has given some scriptures with prayer thoughts to pray with it. When we're praying God's word, we're told that his word will not return to him void. And so that how to take that word and make it a sharp arrow that penetrates the darkness. I believe, Romans 12:1-2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All of us have been deceived. It's just a matter of discovering in what area we've been deceived and renewing our mind. And so because we've been dropped into this world that is infiltrated and with sin, we've believed lies. And we've followed tradition, culture, bloodline, and it's time that we rise and be conformed or transformed to his mind and having the things that have deceived us replaced with the truth and the spirit of the living God. Bob Jones, who is a accredited, validated prophet that works closely with many ministries and especially Morningstar, recently heard the audible voice of God, and he said, God said to Bob Jones, the church determines which way this nation is going. If the church does nothing, we do nothing. But if God does something, we do everything. It's our time to rise out of the affluence, the comfortable, the complacent tradition that we've been saturated with, and arise and be who God designed us to be, to live from the heart he gave us as a way of life, penetrating every place that our life steps in. Now, I believe there has been a mesmerizing spirit heavily over this country for at least the last 4 years. We hear words and we assume that it's what our heart wants, and we don't investigate because we become so apathetic that what are they really saying? Is that really God's heart? It's time to break that mesmerizing. What's a mesmerizing spirit? That's what magicians use. A magician will have their hand doing all this, and you are watching that hand, and behind you, they are doing something else. And then they pull a rabbit out because they didn't know where it came from. We are told by our God to break that spirit, to know the truth, and to walk in the truth. And as we do that, last week, one of the pastors at Calhoun challenged us with a prophetic word to apply Psalms 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Are you brave enough to pray that? Search me, God, and show me where I've been deceived, where I've been a man pleaser, and give me the strength to rise and walk in the truth and make a difference wherever I go. I personally, as I've been praying about this, was challenged by a scripture in 2 Samuel 17-25. There, Israel was in a similar place to we are today. God was angry at Israel because they had not done what they should have done. The prophet came to David. David was king and said, I want you to go to a certain threshing floor. I want you to do an offering there for me. And by the way, that threshing floor is where the temple is today. And when David went to get that, to make his sacrifice to God, to say we want to be rightly aligned, when he went to the threshing floor, the man that owned it said, oh, you're the king, I'll give it to you. But this was what pierced my heart. David said to the man, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. The people you saw with David Barton, those people, and I don't remember the statistics, many of them gave their lives and their fortune to give us the country that we have. And because of our affluence and our apathy, we have thrown it away. I believe that if we will stand up now, we can take it back. Rick Joyner said it's harder to restore a nation than it is to birth it. But as we fix our eyes on God and give him our heart, which is all we have, and say, let me be an arrow in your hand to turn this ship around to the godliness that you created it, I believe he will do it. Okay, so you say, what does it cost? Well, it costs you, number one, to walk in the Spirit and die to your flesh. And I'm challenging you, if you feel so led, we've got 36 days left to the election, that you ask him, would not only you are to humble yourself and pray, but to consider fasting. That means abstaining from something that comforts you, that feeds your flesh, that makes you feel, feed your flesh. And so whatever that is, I'm not here to tell you what it is. Many people like the Daniel fast, and that is you just eat fruits and vegetables and water. Whatever you live to eat and comforts you, I ask you to consider, would God want you to abstain for that for however many days he tells you to? Because, and each time you long for that thing and it's drawn, you can say, God, thank you for surfacing my flesh to show me what I've lived for as opposed to you. I lay it down and then I pray. I spend that time, instead of doing that thing that fed my flesh, I give my heart to you. And there's prayer points there, praying that God will do an awakening of his people. God has his people every place. Bob Jones said that if the church doesn't wake up and vote for righteousness, then the Lord will do nothing. The church will go to sleep, and some may never wake up. That scares me.
Let me throw this verse out, because this is a big deal. Where does God do, and what do we do? And I'm just going to take 30 seconds here. To me, it's summed up in Psalms 115:16. It says, the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth I have given to man. In his sovereignty, he has chosen to let you be in control over a lot.
Right. So that breaks my heart to think, if we do nothing, if we go back to our old ways, the church will go to sleep and some may never wake up. I don't want to face my God. Right. And he said, I gave you a chance. And you went back to doing what comforts you, not bringing glory to me. I don't want that time. I want to walk in his presence today, be all that he's called me to be, because number one, that's going to release the true person you are, which will be a blessing to you. But it will be being salt and light to this world to take it back. So I don't want to go to sleep and not wake up until I have to face my God. And he said, you were more concerned about your comfort and impressing other people than you were about me. The Lord has given us authority. And so it's time now to use it. Read through those prayer points. I'm not going to go through each one of them because you can read. But pray that the hunger, the deception, the mesmerizing spirit that's been controlling us be broken in the name of Jesus, and that righteousness will prevail, and that encourage your neighbors to vote for righteousness. And as Greg said, if they're not going to vote for righteousness, encourage them to stay home. So we need to rediscover America. We need to be who God has created us to be. So read through those. Ask God what your part is. Do your part, and He'll do His.
Amen. Follow up on what James said about how we conquer mountains. I love this phrase of Greg Taylor. It's not, or this quote, it's not violence, it's et cetera, et cetera. And that's a big thing that's going on in this world today. There's the second major religion in the world is in display of its root cause all across the earth. We do not want to be that way. But I love this phrase by Greg Taylor. And this is the kind of church, if you hang around here, we're becoming. It says, we want the fearlessness of warriors and the discipline of monks. As warriors, our weapons are not guns and swords, but love and prayer. And it does make that. So we want to make you warriors, and we want to make you monks. Amen.
Monks in the world.
Monks in the world. There is so much here. We've already taken 50 minutes. Let's take the next 5-6 minutes and just do Q&A. If you have any questions, you have any answers. And because I could talk this about another hour, but I know we got kids here. It's 12:30. Let's take the next 5 or 6 minutes and just do questions and answers. Don't ask me who to vote for. I can tell you off to the side. This is such a... What we're trying to do, it's not about, as I said last week, about the donkey or the elephant, Republicans and Democrats. It's about the lamb. Part of this is off to the side. I'll share who I'm voting for and why. But this is a growth thing that we want to grow up in, to understand. And it's something that if I just give an answer that I'm voting for this person for senator, you miss out on the thought process of why I may pick that person or not pick that person. You understand what I'm saying? So don't ask that question. We're not going to answer that. But any other general questions, any other things in this thing, do you understand why? It's we want to grow and mature in that area. And it's somebody hears, well, you're going to vote for Senator so-and-so or President. All this misconceptions, they don't understand the background, jumps in, and it tends to distract. But any other questions or answers on the mountains, politics, anything along those lines? Okay. Yeah, we got 3 hands, Jory, Gary, and Grace. Just walk around. Okay, there, and then take Jory, and then we'll take Gary.
I'm pretty bad. Well, education is mine. We let one woman take prayer out of the school. We still pray. I was young, couldn't do anything about it. But Murray High, the old Murray High, there's been violence already. School just started. Thought I've shotgun him one little guy. Knives to the neck of a young girl. They've shut the school down 3 times. One's kind of hidden. We don't know it was a parent that hasn't been brought out. It was shut down twice in one day. The education of our Heavenly Father has been taken out. We had prayer. We had scripture read to us. If you didn't like it, you didn't have to participate. You don't have to do it. But we've let the Islamic and the Muslim and all that start ruling us. Freedom of religion. Freedom of religion was based on our Heavenly Father. It wasn't based on other idols. That's why we came to this country. Brought it out. Fought Britain over it. Fought the Spaniards over it. Fought the French over it. Now we sit back and don't fight. And it's breaking my heart.
And that's why we got to research the issues, like she said, and know why we vote for what we vote.
And it is. It's that's where it starts at. It has to start with your heart and the way to it.
FRC.com. That's it. FRC.com. Wall Builders, Aledo, Texas. David Barton. Awesome. FRC.com? No. FRC.org.
We got to do research. We don't want just robots. We want to know why we're voting for what we're voting.
Well, I was going to ask this question because there's a lot of different age groups here. I know our nation has just been changing, and all this stuff is important. Even if we don't want it to be, it is. It's just very important. My question is, as we're learning to vote and learning how to research these people, do you all have any recommendations on resources that you use? Because sometimes the media is a little lopsided in how they present stuff, and facts are very important. What do you guys recommend on researching that so we can make sound decisions?
One of the pure just Christian-based sites is what he said. Just go to Google and do Family Research Council. Another site that is not Christian in the sense that it says it's Christian, that I get many different RSS feeds and blogs on, is Heritage Foundation. Just go, I don't remember the site, but just write down Heritage Foundation and just go Google it. Any others that
Christian
y'all...
Christian Coalition is usually good at giving you at least a background if you can get into them, and even for every local, state, federal election. They're good at giving you a background basically on this one thing, even if you're voting for somebody who's an incumbent. What have they voted on in the past? What's been their voting record? So
that information you all had last week, it would be real.
I think there's still some more out there on the counter if you didn't get
it. Is there? I'll get a good one for
her. Well, there's not enough to pass out. They'll just... Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, she wasn't in Calhoun when I taught that week. She was a sinner and backslidden that week. I'm just kidding.
Okay, Mike. Here you go.
Just a piece of information. We even looked it up on the Internet that a lot of people don't understand. Harvard University, one of the number one law schools in our nation, actually started out as a school that trained congregational ministers when it first opened up. And it said during the 18th century is when they started to change their philosophy. So basically, one of our number one law schools in this nation started out as a seminary.
Yeah.
And you see how the attitudes have changed and everything, how that what we have to be aware of is, are we becoming a nation of Pharisees? That we begin to rewrite the principles and the laws that we were founded on. They were done to protect. The Pharisees came up with all these other little commandments and everything to protect the people, but they didn't realize they were going too far. Mm-hmm. That they began to take away all the freedoms and all the things they initially stood for.
One more question. It's been an hour, and I don't want to push y'all's limits too far. But
I have been doing quite a bit of research here recently, looking up the different things and looking up different ways that, you know, party lines run and what their agendas are and what's going on behind the scenes of what they're looking at. And I was looking at something last week that kind of floored me with the people coming in and saying, okay, we're going to make it look like we care about this. We're going to make it look like we care about these people who are in poverty. And we're going to start giving them things. We're going to give it to them. And they've done it to a point of making it feel like it's a necessity. We are dependent upon them continuing to give us these handouts. We're no longer capable of doing things for ourselves. They go in and they pay our farmers not to farm the land. Because our farmers don't farm the land, their children aren't taught how to farm the land. They can no longer grow their own food. You have to be able to go do something else. And we're becoming more and more and more dependent. And as we're independent, we feel trapped. You know, we go through the entitlement. We're entitled to all of these wonderful benefits they're going to give to us. It's just great. And then you're dependent. If you take it away, how do I support my family? How do I survive? How do I live? But we've got to, what they said was, if we do this, they will vote for us forever. We will control them by their dependency.
Amen. All right, James, Doreen, y'all have any closing remarks you want to make? Well, I love this subject. We could stay here another hour, but we've been here an hour.
The key to me is as we walk in the light, you've heard me rehearse this over and over and over again, that the light has been given to us to have the mind of Christ. That is the light of God. And having the mind of Christ is the greatest gift that's been given us in salvation, that we thank God for heaven and we thank God that we're free from hell. But that's a blessing. But the thing that we have in this life is we have his life and light. And that light is the mind of Christ to give us the ability to see through all of the fluff and see through stuff. And it's not just in politics. It's daily life. And the very things that we've talked about here, how did we get deceived? How did we as a church fall so far away from where we came from? And it's because we did not take advantage of the light that was given to us in this relationship with Christ. To walk in it on a regular basis and to live in it, that you see through the stuff and you see through the fluff and you see through the mask that gets put on, and you see the wisdom of God and how to walk that out on a daily life. We've given that gift up. We've confined the light to just a good church service or a good revelation or a good preaching message or whatever else. Instead of realizing that when you walk in this relationship with Christ, you've got light every day in every decision and in every activity. You've got his mind. That's listening to him, walking with him, communicating with him, and giving that your heart to the sense of sensitivity of saying, all right, how do I do this? How do I walk through this? How do I handle this? Every aspect of your day. That's what relationship's all about. And we've given that up, and in giving that up, as Craig talked about just a few minutes ago, when we separated that which is sacred from the world, the thing is that sacred to us is our relationship with Christ. That's what we have every day. And it's not something we come to church to have. It's who we are. It's how we live. And it's listening to him. Every week I give you the charge when you leave here. And I say this, the most important thing you can do this week is what, church?
Listen to Jesus.
That's not just something to say. It is a charge that the most important thing you can do all week long, listen to Jesus. And so in that, unless they've got something, I will close my part by saying this. The most important thing you can do this week, listen to Jesus. And start in every aspect of where you're at in your life every day. Start learning more and more to give yourself to listen to Jesus.
Amen. Let's stand. I'll just pray prayer blessing over you in dismissal. If you need prayer, individual prayer today, need some kind of encouragement, prayer for healing, myself and people will be over here. We want to make sure you get all that we've got to give you, whatever that is. Amen. And so if you need somebody to agree with you, we won't agree with you. Don't leave depressed or discouraged or hurting and somebody hasn't prayed with you. We want to pray that over you and ask God to move over you. Amen. I forgot. Can you make like 30 seconds what you shared to me this morning? She shared a prophecy, and it was good. And my favorite Aussie here.
There's no coincidence in God, I don't believe. And been talking about a tightrope over Craig, and the Lord was telling me this morning that...
Yeah, about the church part. Yeah.
Yeah. This church is a warring church. And it has been for the last 17 years, and I believe that Dalton is about to explode. God wants to use Dalton, Georgia. My heart's so excited. Mm. I'm so excited. He didn't bring me halfway around the world just to do what I'm doing. He brought me halfway around the world to be here, I assure you. And I have to say this. There's the man of prayer right there. God has said that you have a heart of gold. This man has a heart of gold in this church, and that he's a covering, more than a covering, for his wife. God supernaturally put these two together, and he's going to use them mightily in this church. This church is not just a church in Dalton, Georgia. I believe that. Now, God has placed lots of praying people in this town that you and I don't even know about. But they've been praying, and he's going to bring them to this church. That's why you have a room, prayer room in there. And this town is about to explode. And he's been using this church for the last 17 years as a warring church. And Satan has specifically got demons over this town that we need to be on our knees to get the breakthrough. There's going to be no breakthrough without sacrificial prayer. And I don't care if this church stays open and I have to be here 24 hours. I will do it just so that these people will come in here and pray. We've got to be on our knees, people. Seriously, on our knees. And there's the man. Go and see him. He knows how to pray. God is using you, Ed, because he sees you with a heart of gold and he knows you're a praying man and he sees no guile in you. So if anybody wants to know how to pray, go see Ed. So this church is about to explode, but you were going to be warring warriors. You were quite right.
Amen. Dear Father, we just commission us as warriors and monks in the service of Jesus Christ, who is the chief warrior and the chief monk. I pray blessings over these people. I pray prosperity, spirit, soul, and body, as 3 John 2 says. And I thank you that their influence is growing, because their influence is not for selfish ambition, but for ambition for Jesus. Be blessed and go. Amen.